Peters, and welcome to the Liberty Mike podcast, broadcasting from an undisclosed location in the heart of Dixie. I am Michael, and I am here with Liberty Larry.
How's it going?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
You excited to go see Trump?
I can't wait.
You can't wait.
Can't wait. So Liberty Larry's referring to that Trump is going to address the Libertarian National Convention.
Yeah.
Let's give some background, I guess. So the Libertarian Party invited both Biden and Trump.
Yep.
Biden ignored the Libertarian Party like you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Pretend we don't exist. That's the mainstream political way of making sure that there's never any other competition.
Yep.
Trump isn't savvy enough for that.
Well, I think he's more savvy for going, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, well, let's hear it.
I mean, and Trump's just this way in general, but any audience he can get in front of, he wants to get in front of it.
Yeah.
And I do think it's savvy because if he goes out there and gives the right speech, he may win a few people. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's going to win a ton. Like, I mean, libertarians are libertarians, and Trump is not a libertarian.
But yeah, there are things that he could say.
Well, and what he should do, if he's smart, this is what he will do, is he will get up there and throw some kind of bone to the libertarians. And I mean a bone that they can chew on. Like I had, before the podcast, I had mentioned maybe making Ron Paul, or promising to make Ron Paul chair of the Fed or something like that.
My suggestion was to promise to end the Fed.
Yeah. I mean, he could do that too, but like something serious that libertarians be like, okay. Like, I mean, if we get that one thing, that's a big enough thing to vote for this man.
Yeah. So yeah, you're saying the smart play would be to get up there and say, hey, like, we can do this together, and if I am in office, this is what I will do that you want.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then the question becomes, well, do you trust him or not?
Well, and of course you don't. And that'll immediately be the follow-up from libertarians. We'll be like, hey, I believe it when we see it.
Right.
But, I mean, who knows? I mean, the man's a wild card.
He is.
I mean, he could throw something out there and follow through on it. Mm-hmm. He's more likely not to, but who knows?
It depends on who talks to him last.
Yeah, yeah. That's the point you were making earlier, and you're not wrong about that.
Yeah, and I think it depends on who talks to him last if he actually speaks to the Libertarian Convention, too.
That's true.
I'm sure that there's some, like, old school political operatives that are saying you can't talk to the Libertarian Convention because we don't want people to recognize them as something that exists.
Yeah. And there's an argument to be made that, that you're just, I mean, the whole reason we want him there is because it throws some legitimacy behind us. Mm-hmm. And there's an argument to be made from the Republican side that that's not what we want.
Yes.
But now Trump's going to see that as, no, these are people just like anybody else, and I want them to vote for me.
Right.
Which is the smart play. But it'll be interesting to see. Like I say, it is an open question whether he actually shows up or not.
You said there was a lot of, I don't know, unrest, I guess, in the Libertarian Party
this. So, there's people tell me about very that. Strong on both sides as far as, I mean, there's a lot of people that are making basically the argument that me and, I guess that we were making as far as,
we haven't actually made that argument yet.
No, we hadn't got that far. We talked about that before the podcast. But there's an argument to be made that this kind of, it puts eyeballs on the party. Mm-hmm. And that's, all right, that we need eyeballs on the party. Like, yeah. I mean, we're too small and nothing's really happening. And this is kind of Hail Mary pass. Like, hey, something, you know, let's get some attention. But of course, there's a lot of people, and they're not wrong. Like, neither of these guys are libertarians. Like, why give them a platform at our convention? This is our deal. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, okay. So there's that. But this is also the same party that put up
Bill Weld and
and Gary Johnson, both of whom were just like really liberal Republicans.
Yeah.
Or conservative Democrats. Hard to say.
Yeah.
But they had been Republicans in their states. So we'll say liberal Republicans.
Yeah. And I'll give Johnson I mean, Johnson is, he's just a weak libertarian. But Bill Weld was never been a libertarian.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll allow Johnson and the party, and like, I mean, I think that there's a wing of the party that we need. That's the would be the Gary Johnson wing.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
I would give him that, but there's not a Bill Weld wing of the party.
Yeah.
Or if they are, they're so tiny that they don't count.
Yeah, I remember when he got on the elevator with me at the convention, and Bill Weld did.
Yeah.
And So when the door opened on my floor, I kicked him in the shin and ran away.
Is that what you did in your head?
That's what I did in my head. I was actually quite polite to him in the elevator.
Yeah. Because you're a polite guy.
Yeah, because that's how I am. But, I'm trying to remember. I did challenge him on something, but it wasn't, you know, like we didn't have time to like hash anything out in the elevator.
I don't think you're getting
it. It was like a
30-second
ride. You know? And then there's Joe Jorgensen, who is at least a real libertarian, I suppose. It's kind of an older style of the Libertarian Party libertarian.
Yeah.
I don't know. You got an old Libertarian Party that completely rejected the people that kind of control the party now.
Yeah. And there's like a lot of hate towards the Mises Caucus because I guess...
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I guess Angela McArdle.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm assuming she's the one that's made the decision to invite them in the first place.
Yeah, probably.
And so there's been a lot of hate put out there as far as that, as far as even... you know, putting the invite out there.
But there was also talk earlier in the race of running RFKJ. He's definitely not a libertarian.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea of having not a libertarian speak at the convention or address the convention, I don't see any problem with that.
Have you heard of...
Peter McCullough is going to be there. I'm pretty sure he's not a libertarian.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to hear what he has to say. I'm actually more excited to hear what he has to say than I am to hear what Trump has to say. But I certainly don't see a problem with having Trump address the convention. And I like the idea of it putting a bit of a spotlight on the Libertarian Convention because he draws so much media attention anyway. And so that naturally will draw media attention towards the Libertarian Party.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, politics in America have for a long time have been trying to make sure that you believe that there are only two choices.
Yeah.
And while there are some, while he may draw some libertarians into voting for him, actually, it wouldn't surprise me a bit. There are probably some libertarians that are planning to vote for him anyway.
Yeah.
And certainly plenty of libertarians. There were some really kind of leading libertarians that were advocating voting for him in 2016. I don't remember that quite so much in 2020, but I know that there were libertarians that voted for him in 2020.
Yeah.
So with the Libertarian candidate not running the greatest campaign and so forth, not really kind of standing strong on some libertarian principles that we think are important. If you're going to be wishy-washy anyway, I guess you may as well try and vote for somebody who's going to win.
Yeah. Well, my problem was...
Who could win?
In the most tyrannical time that I've ever lived through, personally, to have a libertarian candidate that won't come out strong on it, that was really kind of it for me and Jorgensen.
Not really attacking the COVID regime.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that was me personally.
Mm-hmm. I didn't vote at all in 2020.
I mean, I'll say it. I voted for Trump. Like I said, I mean, if I was going to, I mean, it's not something I'm super proud of, but at the same time, like, I felt like that was the better candidate. Like, if I had voted for Jorgensen, it would have been strictly because she was a libertarian and that's it.
Yeah.
And us as libertarians give people crap about that.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, so I voted my conscience.
Yeah, me too.
So not at all.
Yeah. Like, there was nobody worth my vote in 2020.
Well, I mean, I think that was fair too.
Yeah.
So...
At the same time, I think that one thing that it could do is that there are probably a lot of people that are ideologically libertarian that, or may even self-identify as libertarian, that vote Republican, that will see Trump address the Libertarian Convention and say, oh, wow, there's actually a Libertarian Party, like that, yeah. like a legitimate Libertarian Party that has conventions and everything.
Well, and that, I think the conventions, I didn't even know. The conventions thing, I think, is what gets you, because I do think that there's a segment of libertarians that are out there mm-hmm. that know there is a Libertarian Party, but doesn't even realize it holds conventions.
Yeah.
And doesn't realize that there's state affiliates and local affiliates probably in their area.
Yeah.
Like I say, I mean, that it, you could see it bring some attention as far as that goes. Mm-hmm. Like I say, I think it's worthwhile. I'm glad he's doing it. I'm glad they're doing it. I wish I could be there for it.
Yeah. It's not too late.
It is for me. Yeah. But
by the way, okay, so I sent a message to the Libertarian Party. If there's anybody listening to this that's affiliated with the National Party and can answer this question for me at michael@thelibertymike.com.
Uh-oh. Here we go, guys. It's coming. This is it.
I had registered for the convention at a time where they had not identified speakers, and I knew that I wasn't going to be a delegate. Well, I guess I didn't know that at the time, but I wasn't a delegate at the time, and now I'm not. I'm an alternate anyway, but...
Yeah.
I chose the lowest, like the basic package.
Yeah.
Well, so now I know who the speakers are, and there are a couple of them that I would like to see. Can't I upgrade my ticket package? I don't understand. Like, I can't find a way to do that. And so I sent a message to the party saying, hey, how do I do this? And I haven't gotten a response. Any kind of response, which is also a problem.
Yeah.
By the way. So, two things. First off, get your stuff together. And, like, if you have a contact us and we'll get back to you in 48 business hours thing, you need to do that.
Yeah, right. That's marketing 101 right yeah. there.
Secondly, if you have an answer to this question, I'd really like to know, because I would like to give you guys another $125 or $150 or whatever the difference is between the one that I bought and the one that I want.
No, you've got to buy the other package and your package.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Or you can buy add-ons there, I think, but they're like $125 a piece. So I'd pay more than I paid for my original package just to add two speakers to the list or something, yeah. which is another thing that they probably want me to do. But I'm not doing that. Right. So you're either going to get another $150 from me or you're going to get nothing from me.
And you'll sneak in.
Might be able to pull that off too.
Right.
No way they can have eyes everywhere. I know how these things run.
Oh, yeah. I know how they run. That's the reason I was saying you can sneak in. So,
I don't want to be stealing stuff, but you know. Or if there's somebody that's just not going to... Here's an alternative. If somebody that's bought one of the like full packages and they're not going to use all their tickets for the various breakfasts and lunches and so forth, contact me. We can make a deal.
All right. Mike's like, I got a barter system going.
So that's the other thing. Michael@thelibertymike.com.
Pay you in gold.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have any gold small enough to be...
To account for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not chipping pieces off of the bars that I have. Sorry. I got silver.
Oh, yeah?
I do have silver.
Yeah. Silver's valuable. Yeah.
And heavy. I had to pay to travel with it. But whatever. I can get over that. All right. I wanted to pick up a little bit about some stuff that we talked about last week. There were some things that we said that we were going to talk about this week that we're probably not going to.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's just too many other things. I think this is going to be mostly a history podcast, so I hope you guys are ready for that. I think these are fun. And
yeah.
I have some other things to, like, new information to address at the end, but we teased last time there's an anniversary tomorrow. So today is Friday, May 3rd. Tomorrow is an anniversary. May 4th. May 4th is a special day, not because it's Star Wars Day. because Disney ruined that. That might have once have been a special day, but not anymore.
But that day is past.
Yes, unfortunately. We're going to pretend that the last several years of Star Wars didn't happen at all. But May 4th is also, this year will be the 54th anniversary of the Kent State shootings.
Ah.
So May 4th, 1970, several students were killed by National Guard on the campus of Kent State in Ohio as a result of protests of the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
Now, I've been reading a bunch about this last week. This is a really interesting story, and I think it's relevant now because of the protests that are going on campus right now.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of calls to call out National Guard to quash these protests. And there's already been, you know, plenty of police going in and bashing people around, and some good police work too, like going in and calmly and peacefully disassembling these things. Although even that I think is a problem. So for example, though, as a bad example, Greg Abbott, governor of Texas, called in police and state troopers to break up protests at UT Austin, mounted troops and so forth. And it was pretty ugly. And they arrested a bunch of people. I think over 100 people they arrested. And as far as I can tell, like, they didn't say that they were arrested for anything legitimate, like any actual crime.
Yeah.
He said that they were arrested for anti-Semitism.
Yeah. What kind of crime is that?
And that's not a crime, period. Yeah. The end. Yeah. Although it might be now, but we'll get to that later in the podcast.
Yeah.
You know what? Hating somebody may be, I was going to say revulsive, but I don't think that's really a word.
Yeah.
It seems to fit, though. It's the first thing that came to mind.
Revolting?
Revolting. There you go.
Yeah.
Like, okay, hating somebody just based on their ethnic background or their religion or whatever, it's stupid, it's ignorant, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's not illegal. And in fact, that feeling is completely protected by the Constitution of the United States.
It's supposed to be.
You can hate whoever you want. For whatever reason you want in this country.
Yeah.
No matter how stupid it is.
Yeah.
It,
this country was founded on that.
Yeah. We love hate. No, wait, that's not right. Yeah, because we hated the British. That's why this country was founded, right?
Exactly. That was my reading of it.
No. So, but the point is that there is a constitutional amendment. The first one, as a matter of fact. That protects you from thought crime.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so if they were arrested for trespassing or something like that, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But as far as I can tell, they didn't name any legitimate
charges.
Criminal offense.
Yeah.
They went in there and broke them up and arrested a bunch of people for protesting against the whatever you want to call it, that's going on in Gaza.
Yeah.
I was going to...
your opinion.
Yeah, exactly. The ethnic cleansing. That, I think, is... There's no way that can be argued against. So, the ethnic cleansing in Gaza, at least the murder of civilians in Gaza.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair, for sure.
With American weapons and American money.
Yep.
Now... little word on these protests again real quick before we get into the history stuff. This is one of I'm frustrated too about these kids that don't really understand.
Yeah.
Like they're protesting. They should be protesting, but they don't really understand why they're protesting.
Yeah.
They don't have a real understanding of the history or the relationship or any of that. Like you hear them say stupid things, or they just say, well, you know, we don't really understand. Some of them are even just honest. There was a viral video, these two girls that were asked, like, what is your college doing that you're protesting against? And they're like, well, I mean, we don't really know.
Yeah.
Okay. but we're in solidarity with the Palestinians. And I think there's a whole bunch of like Marxist idiocy that's going on here. Like they're just protesting in support of the Palestinians because they see the Palestinians as an oppressed people.
Yeah,
that's not wrong.
Yeah,
but there's a whole lot more to it than that, and I certainly wish that they had a better understanding. All right,
maybe
fine.
Maybe while they're in those encampments, they should have somebody in there educating them.
Yeah, that's probably some lectures going on or something. Right. In a lot of ways, I would say, especially in places like Colombia, this is a sign that your professors did not do a good job.
Right.
They talked you into the protest, but they didn't explain to you why.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do think of like the Occupy Wall Street protests.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of people down there. They were protesting. They should be protesting.
Yeah.
But they're kind of protesting the wrong thing. Like they didn't understand why they were protesting, or they thought that the wrong group was responsible or whatever.
The
like,
Occupy one was... There were, at least my gather of it from the time, mm-hmm. was that there was a bunch of different people there for different reasons.
Well,
like it wasn't like, it, but it seemed to me like it was a truly organic protest where like all of these people ended up there and they were all there for kind of different reasons. I mean, they were all kind of against the same thing, but for different reasons and that kind of thing.
Well, that may be. And there's probably some truth to that in this too.
Yeah.
But I think the parallel that I really wanted to try and draw there is that even if they didn't understand it, yeah. like there was a recognition that there's something wrong here.
Yeah.
And they were right about that.
Yeah.
And so they should be protesting. And I wish they understood why more.
Yeah.
But it's legitimate to protest what's going on.
Oh, absolutely.
In the same way that it was legitimate to protest the financial system at Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah.
They may blame the, you know, the capitalists or whatever. That's not their problem. They don't understand what the root of the problem is, but
yeah. But they understand that there is a problem.
But there is a problem.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a parallel here too. They recognize that there is a problem. They may not be able to totally identify that problem.
Yeah.
But there is a problem that's worth protesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So, some people saying stupid things, but whatever. All right.
Yeah.
We'll let some of that. First off, a lot of that has been exaggerated to a great degree. There aren't Jews terrified. Well, there might be Jews terrified for their life, but they have no reason to be.
But not with good cause.
Yeah. There's plenty of Jews in these protests. Yeah. It's not anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
At its core. And again, you know, criticizing the Israeli government is not anti-Semitic. Criticizing Zionism is not anti-Semitic. There's a whole lot of anti-Zionist Jews.
Yeah.
A lot.
I was going to say, one of the things I watched the other night, like they were interviewing some that were like anti-Zionist Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, they're out there. I don't know.
Yeah, this House Resolution 6090 that we're going to talk about later in the podcast, there was a Jewish representative that voted against it and was very vocal about why she voted against it.
Yeah.
You
don't have a clip, do you?
No, I don't. I read an article. I didn't hear it.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But, you know, it was very specific that... anti-Zionism does not equate to anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But back to Kent State. So May 4th, 1970 at Kent State, there were several students that were killed by National Guard. Now, there's a lot of unanswered questions on this, by the way. Like,
okay.
There's not a definitive history of what took place.
Yeah, well, I mean, the government was killing its own citizens. Like, they don't usually keep good records of that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just saying.
So, but let's start with what led to it. So Nixon was elected in 1968.
Yeah.
And took office in 1969 with a promise to end the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
And at first, it looked like he might.
Yeah.
But I can't. This cat behind me really wants my attention.
I hear that.
But then April 30th, 1970, he announced that the war was expanding into Cambodia, that they were actually broadening the war.
Yeah.
And in reaction, on May 1st, across the country, campuses across the country, there were protests to end the Vietnam War. So one of these protests, of course, occurred on the Kent State campus. And it was initially peaceful. Like, the protest itself was peaceful. And at the end of the day of protests on campus, they said that they were going to pick up at noon on the month. This was a Friday, May 1st. They were going to pick up at noon on Monday, May 4th, and continue protesting. So the campus protests were peaceful, but in the town that night, Friday night, there were some clashes between students and police.
Okay.
And they got pretty severe, like to the point of students setting bonfires in streets and and things like that. Like, some people were hurt and like a few people
fiery,
were arrested.
Fiery, but mostly
and so
peaceful.
Fiery, but mostly peaceful, exactly. Yeah. Now, who knows how that stuff got started?
Yeah.
It's also Friday night, college kids out drinking in the bars, et cetera, ended up clashing with police. Don't know exactly what happened. The mayor of the town at that point in time said that he was going to declare a state of, or petition for a state of emergency, and ask the governor to send National Guard because he didn't think local law enforcement would be able to handle any kind of escalation.
Yeah.
The next day, Saturday, the 2nd, they had protests on campus. The National Guard had been deployed nearby, so they were able to reallocate some resources to the campus. So now they have National Guard on campus on the 2nd.
Yeah.
The governor met with the mayor and some other people, and the governor said that that he would create an emergency declaration for the guard to be there to keep the peace.
Yeah.
He didn't actually do this, though.
Oh, really?
Like, the declaration was never done, which creates problems in the long run, because then without that declaration, nobody actually knows if the National Guard have any authority on the campus.
Yeah.
Okay. So the National Guard think that they have authority, though. And the college administrators are just kind of deferring to the National Guard, and the National Guard said that they are banning protests on campus.
Yeah.
But nobody knows if they can actually do this, and this is in a day before cell phones and the internet, too.
Yeah.
So getting, like, disseminating that information
is difficult. Yeah. They should put up banners.
So... Now, this isn't to say back to fiery and but mostly peaceful protests. On that Saturday, the ROTC building was burned down on campus.
Wow. Really?
Nobody knows who set the fire, but the assumption is that it was protesters, because protesters did kind of hinder the fire department's response.
Oh, really?
And were like gathered around the ROTC building, like cheering
like,
its destruction.
Let it burn. Yeah.
Yeah. They probably did start the fire.
Yeah.
We didn't start
the fire. I was going to say, we didn't start the fire.
and then there were more protests on the Sunday as well. Yeah. At this point, the campus administrators, the college administrators, created something like 12,000 flyers that they put out saying that the that protests had been banned. There would be no protest on Monday, May 4th, etc.
Yeah.
Who knows how many people actually saw them?
Well, and who knows how many people cared? Like, I'm not a college student, but I can imagine if you start putting out flyers that say don't do this, and you believe in a cause, I mean, you're going to go out there and do the thing.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that is probably important to mention is that the presence of the National Guard on campus created its own set of protests.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, because beyond the issues they were already protesting, I'm sure that there were plenty of students that didn't appreciate that.
Yeah, and militarizing the campus.
Exactly.
So the protests over the weekend grew just because of the presence of the National Guard. So then you had anti-war protests, and you had protests going on against the National Guard being on the campus at all.
Yeah.
All right. So, the Guard did ban the planned protests on Monday. But they couldn't just send everybody a text message like you could today.
Yeah.
And nobody actually knew if the Guard had any authority to ban the protest anyway.
Yeah.
Because no emergency declaration had ever been issued by the governor.
Yeah.
Even though he said he would. He didn't.
Yeah.
So nobody knows who's in charge.
Yeah.
If it's the college administration or if it's the National Guard. Yeah. So the protest on Monday happened.
Yeah.
And they had the estimates I saw said that there were probably about 3,000 students there, that there was like a core group of about 500 students that were like really protesting, leading and involved directly with the protests, that there were another probably 1,000 students that were kind of I don't know, wishy-washy. They were like on the fence about it, but were present for the protests, even though they were kind of surrounding it, not really participating.
They didn't have signs.
Yeah, right. But they weren't actively participating, but they were there kind of in support of it, sort of. Yeah. Well, but then that's the rest.
Okay.
Is that there are about 1,500 students that were really kind of on the perimeter, that were just there to see what was going on, or were going about their business of going to classes and stuff like that on, you know, on the Monday, but were there like around the quad, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
So, the National Guard tried to disperse the protests, first with bullhorns, just saying, you need to leave, everybody disperse. This protest has, you know, been banned. You gotta get out of here, et cetera. when that didn't work, they started firing tear gas into the crowd.
Yeah. Now things have escalated.
Yes. So then they approached the students. I'm trying to say this like not in a way that makes it sound like it was an attack exactly, because I don't think that it really was. I think like they fire the tear gas, then they're moving towards the students to try and push them,
like move them out. Yeah.
Kind of like Greg Abbott's mounted state troopers did, which created its own set of problems.
Yeah.
And the same thing is true here.
Yeah.
So they followed the students over this hill and followed them down into a parking lot. Now, when they get into the parking lot, they realize that maybe this isn't the place that they want to be.
Yeah.
There's only about 70 National Guard.
Yeah.
Like I said, there are about 3,000 students. The National Guard do, however, have M1 rifles.
Yeah.
So once they get down into the parking lot, they got students all around them, more or less.
Yeah, they're surrounded.
and so they move back up the hill.
Yeah.
And when they get to the top of the hill, it's very specific on this. This is kind of interesting, I think.
Yeah.
28 of the 70 National Guard guys, when they hit the top of the hill, turn and fire into the crowd.
Really?
And continue firing with their pistols or rifles and or rifles for a little less than a quarter minute. Like about 13 seconds is what they say.
Yeah.
The result of that is that there were 4 students dead. And 9 injured, one of them paralyzed for life of the 9 injured.
Wow.
And then there's other reports. So, you know, things are a little hazy around this. Now, there were multiple reports that said that when the National Guard was down in the parking lot, that a group of them had kind of huddled in the middle. Now, they could be huddling saying, okay, we need to get out of this situation.
Yeah.
All right. What do we do from here? We march back up the hill.
Yeah.
But since a number of National Guard immediately turned when they hit the top of the hill and fired down into the parking lot.
Yeah.
An alternative interpretation is that a group of National Guardsmen decided while they were down there in that parking lot that they were going to march back out and then they were going to fire on everybody.
Yeah. and put a close to this.
Yeah. So then things actually get worse.
Yeah.
As you might imagine.
Well, yeah, now there's chaos.
Yeah. There's chaos, there's people dead, there's people injured, and the students who had been protesting but mostly peaceful are not peaceful anymore.
Oh, I bet they're not.
Because they've had friends killed or hurt, and now the students are aggressively moving towards the National Guard, apparently willing to give up a few of their lives because they got a whole lot more of them than they do National Guard. Yeah. Some faculty intervenes at this point. The story is that the National Guard was ready to start firing on them again.
Yeah.
Now they have a legitimate reason to feel threatened.
Right.
Where there's not really any support to them feeling threatened before, except for just the position that they were in.
They put themselves in. Yeah.
So faculty intervene at this point and plead with the National Guard to just let them talk to the students. So the faculty kind of mediates there and are able to convince the students to leave.
Yeah.
At that point. And, you know, people are being taken to the hospital. There's emergency crews out everywhere at this point and so forth. Now, there were a number of investigations. Nobody was found to be responsible. Determination by the courts was that it was a legal shoot. National Guard eventually settled for something like $675,000 that they contributed towards the victims.
Yeah.
Which was, of course, paid with Ohio tax money.
I was going to say, that's your tax dollars at work.
Yeah. So nobody was held
personally
actually responsible for this.
Yeah.
And even after the National Guard settled, and the state said that they settled because for an amount of money that it would have cost them anyway to go to court again. The National Guard released a statement where they were careful not to admit fault.
Yeah.
But a quote from that is, I wrote it sideways on my notes, so I'm having to move into this awkward position so that I can read it and still talk into the mic. I hope you can hear me. said, quote, "Better ways must be found to deal with such a confrontation."
Yeah.
Well, that was 54 years ago. And it looks like... We haven't really found a better way.
Are still out there. We just haven't found them yet.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and there's like when I say that, like I actually do mean that because they had a debate the other night of two guys that were debating like how this should be handled and what the right way is. Mm-hmm. And the truth is there's no right answer. Like there, I mean, I could see myself siding with both of the sides of the argument that they were trying to argue.
Yeah.
As far as like when to bring police in, like at what levels do you bring them in? And then what do you do with them when you get them in there?
The problem has been that these have really been peaceful protests.
Yeah.
There's been some reports of some isolated violent episodes, but
yeah,
these really have been peaceful protests.
Yeah.
This is not like the Summer of Love 2020.
Yeah.
And
what I wasn't aware of until the other night when they started breaking the stuff up, and I guess I should have been, and I just wasn't, was that these are, it's more than really just protests. Like these are encampments. Like they've got a whole little city with an ecosystem kind of going on in the middle of these campuses.
Yeah. So Bridget Fedesi, does a podcast called Dumpster Fire.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like a comedy news podcast.
Yeah.
And she said something like, she was joking about the students, you know, all these like upper middle class or upper class students at these Ivy League schools out there living in tents and, you know, and so forth and, you know, kind of LARPing as homeless people.
Yeah.
And she says, if you want to live like a homeless refugee, move to Gaza.
Wow.
Which I thought was, like, really hit the nail on the head there. I thought it made me laugh.
Yeah.
It's a dark joke, but it
is
funny.
It is funny, yeah.
So, yeah, they have encampments out there, but they're in public areas on the campus so forth. Now, I've seen also students saying, you know, we don't want you to video us. Don't video us. You can't video us.
But you're on public
property. The reason that you're able to stay where you are is because you're in a public area.
Yeah.
So if you're in a public area, you can't ask not to be recorded.
Yeah. Like, this one comes up on social media a lot. In fact, I saw just yesterday somebody was in one of the community groups was grousing because somebody was in front of their yard videoing their house or something.
Yeah.
Which, while is unnerving and a problem, not illegal.
Right.
Like, I mean, you can do that. And the conclusion in the group was that it was a realtor or something. But at any rate, you can do that.
But this is what I find really interesting about this. This is kind of the problem that I think we need to address with this as a nation, is that in 2020, when Americans were out on the streets in the midst of lockdowns, which were supposedly like legally enforceable, I don't know how, but whatever. In the midst of lockdowns, while Americans were out on the streets, causing significant destruction to private property.
Oh, yeah.
The police stood down.
Yep.
And allowed it to happen. But now, with a bunch of college kids protesting against a foreign war by a foreign government, they're bringing in the police to break it up. We can't allow you to criticize this foreign government.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The world's a crazy place right now.
And is it just a coincidence that Benjamin Netanyahu took to Twitter or whatever, X, whatever, took to social media last week and said that these protests need to end, that the government needs to bring in the police and break up these protests, and then it happened?
And then, yeah. I mean, I've said it before on the podcast, like, It's crazy who's pulling the strings here. Like who's the superpower here?
Yeah. So yeah, that's what Clinton said, except it was after he met, supposedly.
Yeah.
The report is that after Bill Clinton met with Benjamin Netanyahu, when Netanyahu walked out, Clinton was like, who's the effing superpower here?
Exactly.
Who does this guy think he is? Who's the effing superpower?
Yeah.
And
the truth is, I mean, we don't hold the cards here. And it's
we should.
We should. Well, that's the
we
thing.
Do hold the cards.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know it looking at it.
Yeah.
But that's what's so amazing. Like, because you're right. We absolutely do hold the cards here. But the problem is if you started pulling some of those cards, like, you'd find out real quick there's a reason you don't pull those cards.
Yeah, I guess that's true. So it gets worse. The House passed House Resolution 6090 this week to add a definition of anti-Semitism to the Anti-Discrimination Act. And they're using, we've talked about this before, like a couple of years ago, talking about the Israel-Palestine conflict and what was going on there, like before it was in the news. But it's anti-Semitism. They're using the definition of anti-Semitism of the IHRA, which is the International Holocaust Remembrance Association.
Yeah,
I'm not sure about that last word, but
okay.
I can't think of what else it would be. The IHRA, anyway.
Yeah,
and It includes a bunch of examples, which we read on the podcast before, and I'm not going to do again. But I'm going to mention a few of the things that are just criticisms of the Israeli government.
Yeah.
It includes anti-Semitism is suggesting that a person has more loyalty to Israel than their country. So to say that somebody has a dual loyalty would be considered anti-Semitism. To say that Israel is an apartheid state would be anti-Semitism.
Which it is.
Which it is. Lots of people agree.
Yeah, I mean,
including Israel's own B'Tselem human rights group.
Yeah.
Say that it's an apartheid state.
Well, legally, they have to say it's an apartheid state. I mean, I don't know. I may be wrong about that, but it just
I don't know why they would have to legally.
I mean, I don't think
kind of say whatever they want. There's nothing that holds them to any particular standard or anything.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess if I don't know,
but
yeah,
but they say it anyway, even though they're an Israeli human rights group, which you would think would kind of defend whatever they're doing. But there's several other things like that. So what it essentially comes down to is that it includes a whole bunch of criticisms of the Israeli government itself as being anti-Semitic behavior. And the House has just voted to adopt, like overwhelmingly, by the way, the House has voted to adopt this definition of anti-Semitism into the U.S.'s anti-discrimination laws, which means that it could be illegal. Like you could face jail time or fines or whatever for making these kinds of statements.
Yeah. Podcast is in trouble.
Yeah, no kidding. Luckily, we don't make any money anyway. So what are they going to, well, they could jail us, I guess.
That would suck. I mean, that was like in the statement.
Yeah, that would suck. I don't want to go to jail for saying that Israel's an apartheid state, but Israel is an apartheid state.
But they are. Like, yeah.
And, so the again, you know, talk about like who's the superpower here. I could call the U.S. a racist country or an apartheid state legally without any problems. But if this is adopted all the way through, I couldn't make those statements legally about Israel.
Yeah.
In the United States. I could say it about the United, I could say terrible things about the United States, but I can't say the same terrible things about Israel as a citizen of the United States.
How wild is that?
And so here's my suggestion to everybody, because we are in an election year.
We sure are.
In November, if your representative voted yay on this, get them out.
Yeah.
If your representative was waving a Ukraine flag last week after they voted to give another $61 billion to Ukraine, vote them out, because they're not interested in you.
No.
They're not acting in your interest. They're acting in the interests of foreign governments. Get them out.
Yeah. Well, and they'll stand right there and say it, that they're anti-MAGA, that they're, or they'll claim the Republicans are the MAGA Republicans. Mm-hmm. Like, what does that word stand, or that acronym stand for?
Mike Johnson, by the way, has been on board with all of this.
Yeah. Well, it's already been shown that that guy's a snake, man. Like, he's not, he's not the answer.
No, he's not the answer. That's for sure. And this brings me to another point that I don't know if I want to spend a bunch of time on, because it's complex, I think. But in basic terms, I would say that the Republican-Democrat divide isn't a divide. We've talked before about that the right-left paradigm doesn't really describe anything anymore. It doesn't really identify a difference that matters to you.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you may think that it does. There's like a few little things that they disagree on. But on the big things that really affect your life.
Oh, they're united.
They're united. The worst thing that can happen is bipartisan support for something.
Yeah. Those are the worst things.
Anything that's bipartisan support, it's bad for you.
Yep.
And so we've said, you know, does this right-left conservative liberal paradigm really have any meaning or any value anymore? And, you know, we were kind of pushing towards authoritarianism, libertarianism, like liberty versus authority,
yeah,
as the paradigm. But I've been thinking about this more and more recently. And while I think that I think I have a bigger paradigm that encompasses that paradigm.
Yeah.
Which is individualism versus collectivism.
Yeah.
Because both the left wing and the right wing power centers in this country are collectivist.
Yeah.
So communism, fascism, they're the same thing. We've talked about this before too, that I don't really see any difference. The difference is what you call the people that have the power.
Yeah.
That's the only difference between communism and fascism as far as I'm concerned. And what unites them though is collectivism.
Yeah.
And I would say that collectivism is completely antithetical to liberty because it ignores you as an individual. Yeah. You have no rights. Your rights don't matter if for the collective good we need to stomp on them.
Yeah.
And so nobody is really free in that scenario. And so maybe that's your new paradigm. That's what you should start looking at when you're deciding who to vote for. Is not right, left, or even liberty, authority.
Yeah.
Although, like I said, I think that they kind of fall in together in a lot of ways. I mean, but there's some aspects of liberty that you might find on either side that you'd say, oh, well, but they're, you know, the left is more concerned with civil rights or, you know, these kinds of liberties.
Traditionally.
And the right is more concerned with religious or speech liberties or whatever, you know, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
But the truth is that both sides have, at least the power centers, the mainstream of the right and the left, are collectivist.
Yeah.
And collectivism buries liberty. Liberty doesn't matter in a collectivist society. I can't think of a single collectivist society that has been good for liberty.
Yeah.
And so if the individual's rights can be ignored for the common good,
yeah,
then everybody's a slave.
Shut up, slave.
Mm-hmm. So maybe that's something to look at when you're thinking about who to vote for in a few months.
Yeah, the problem is nobody's really going to be checking any good boxes as far as that goes.
Not in the mainstream parties. Not at the federal level for sure. Probably not at the state level either.
Yeah.
You got to find them local or find them in third parties.
Yeah.
Minor parties.
Definitely the minor parties.
And then the last little thing that I just wanted to mention real quick before we close up, because we're closing in on an hour here, is that the Navalny death in Russia that everybody made such a big deal out of over here, you know, many very important officials, including President Biden himself, saying that Vladimir Putin killed Navalny.
Yeah.
Well, in a small article in, I can't remember, Washington Post, New York Times, which are generally not...
not your normal reads.
Yeah, I don't say that they're like bastions of truth in either of those places. But yeah. There was an article that that came out with U.S. intelligence sources saying that, quote, Putin likely did not order Navalny to be killed, end quote.
Yeah.
And this was a pretty strong agreement among the intelligence agencies.
Yeah.
And the reason to believe that in this case, even if it's a not very trustworthy source and it's unnamed sources, like that, where it was printed is not necessarily trustworthy and it's unnamed sources, is that it's against interest.
Yeah. It's against the narrative.
Yeah. Because everybody was out there pushing the idea that Putin had Navalny murdered.
Yeah.
Which was absurd on its face that we tried to express that on this podcast. I mean, I think that we made a pretty good case that was stupid.
Yeah.
But they were pushing that anyway. And now they're backing off and saying, yeah, we don't have any evidence of that. And in fact, it probably didn't happen.
Yeah.
So. Quietly.
Yeah.
So
months later.
Anyway, write again. Yeah. Liberty Mike Podcast, write again.
Yeah.
I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to? I talked a lot in this episode, so
it's
you have
quite all right. You wanna, no, I, like I said, I think you pretty well put it all together.
Okay. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then, let's see. Next week will be the, we got to record on Thursday, right?
Yeah.
We have to record on Thursday.
Yeah.
Because you got a bunch of obligations on Friday.
I've got obligations on Friday for sure.
Yeah. All right. So, the plan then is to record on the 9th and get that out to you guys. That's the plan.
Yeah. I don't know if Thursday doesn't happen. I mean Saturday. We might look at Saturday or Sunday, but all of those days are dicey for me.
Yeah. Well, we'll get
Thursday's
it out.
Thursday's kind of dicey. So, I mean.
Well, we'll get it out as soon as we can.
Yeah.
If worst comes to worst, we have an episode in the can still.
That's true.
But I'd rather not use it while we're both in town, you know, and like not in the hospital or something.
Yeah.
So, I'd like to record a new episode.
Yeah.
So that's the plan. Anyway, we'll try and get one out Thursday. If not, it'll be over the weekend. In the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook. You can subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, Podbean. Like and share, comment, subscribe, leave reviews where you can. Those help too. Tell your friends and all that other stuff. We appreciate it all, and it helps us a lot. And we get these weird bumps from time to time that we cannot identify what we've done.
Yeah, the algorithms are... I'm telling you, it's just something funky with the algos.
Yeah.
It's being pushed somewhere.
Yeah, I feel like it has to be like that we have to have been referenced maybe somewhere or something.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I don't know where it's coming from either.
But every once in a while, we'll get like 3 times as many views and downloads as normal, which is really strange. And I don't know where it comes from. If I could figure out what we're doing, then I would like to do it more.
Right. So feedback would be great.
Yeah. If you know what's happening,
yeah.
If you see us somewhere else, like somebody else referring to us, I'd like to know anyway.
Yeah.
Cause I don't know. That's cool.
Oh, absolutely.
I would say something about whoever referenced us on our podcast.
Yeah, and if you had something positive to say, you'd say it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, they were smart enough to reference the Liberty Mike podcast, so they must be okay.
Yeah, maybe, unless they're like hate watching.
Well, that's okay too. I'm okay with hate watching.
You're okay with that too, yeah.
So anyway, we'll be back next week when we finally get this right. And in the meantime, try to stay free.
Life's short, live free.
Ciao.
Later.